All right, so how many of you are here to learn about hospitality because you really want to grow in it? Okay. How many of you are here because it's good to just keep you reminded of truths? Good, good, okay. Yeah, see, all of the above. I wanted to show you, these are two main books that I would recommend on hospitality. This one is The Hospitality Commands by Alexander Strock. He's a great, factual biblical truth author. He writes on elders, deacons, our primary commandments to love. We've gone through his book twice in our church, If You Bite and Devour One Another. So, of course, none of that is going on here because we've gone through the book twice. So, this is a great, you can see it's tiny. You know,
what's his name again?
Alexander Strock, Strauch. So this is the more like black and white aspects, and this book would be more practical. This is Practicing Hospitality, The Joy of Serving Others by Pat Ennis and Lisa Tatlock. They were home ec professors at the Master's University when I was there 25 years ago. So this book is full of practical ideas. They interviewed a lot of women and have all these women's, like, this is what we do. So lots of, a buffet of choices, basically. Tons of recipes along with scripture and the acrostic we're going through tonight. I will admit up front, I did not invent it. I got it from these lovely wise women. So that's what we're going to go over tonight. So let's start with the fact that hospitality is commanded in the scripture and what it means. One of the definitions I got out of this book, Practicing Hospitality, that I liked, so my favorite of the options, was by Erin McLeod, and she said, hospitality is the willingness to give cheerfully of your heart, home, time, energy, and talents. So the willingness to give cheerfully of your heart, home, time, energy, and talents. To extend kindness and welcome to others. So kindness and welcome. And as I like to tell people, hospitality isn't necessarily limited to your home. It's just a great meeting spot, right? An easy place for you to prepare things or have people stay over if it's that kind of hospitality. But there are people who are very hospitable taking people out. So that is always a possibility too. That is where the idea of the willingness to give cheerfully, you could almost stop there. But your heart, your time, your energy, your home, your talents. And those kinds of attitudes reflect the nature of our God. You know that we are called to be like God, to be holy like Him, to show His character. And God's character is of compassion, of self-sacrificing, of focusing on others first, and even being obedient. Jesus was obedient. So as we go through the commands, remember, okay, this isn't just whether I feel like it or if my house is clean. You can still have people over if it's not. but it's to be obedient to the word. So here are some of the scriptures. You can feel free to flip to them if you brought your Bible tonight, or if you have your phone, or if you just want to listen. That's always available as well. So the first one we're going to look at is Romans 12, verse 13. And we are not on the acrostic yet, if you were wondering. So if you just want to jot down the references, that might be sufficient if you want to go back and look at it later, unless you buy the book.
Romans 12, 13.
Yep. And I passed Romans. Romans 12:13 says, contributing to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality. And if I look up into the context of this section, it's called Marks of the True Christian in my Bible. So that's the unauthorized definition of that chapter. But the whole chapter starts with let love be genuine. And the section ends with do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So in the middle of that are a list of commands, one of which is verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality. So sometimes you're meeting real needs. People have a real need to have some food delivered, or there's something really going on in their life, and having them over, you can help with the need, or practical needs, clothing, a place to stay for a month or whatever. those kinds of needs, but also to show hospitality, which is the willingness to give cheerfully of your heart, home, time, energy, and talents to invest in other people. Hey, how are you? He says papers. The next one is 1 Peter 4:9. 1 Peter 4:9. Now, this section is called Stewards of God's Grace within the whole context of the chapter. And verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another without
grumbling.
How many of you have ever done hospitality and grumbled about it?
Sure.
Okay, so we know why this verse is here. It's a reality. Your husband invites someone over, or he invites someone to live with you for a week or a month, and you're like, I want to. God knew that we were going to struggle, especially us women who live in a place of coming under authority, even another step. Our husbands are still under authority, but the point of this verse would be to be hospitable with enthusiasm, right? And so the last one was with the idea of love, practicing hospitality with love. And this one, you could say, would be focusing on the enthusiasm. What kind of attitude should I have in hospitality? And that should be without complaint, the opposite being enthusiasm, right? I would love to have the people over, sweetheart. I would love to do this, even if we're just serving macaroni and cheese. So much is about your attitude. And as I like to say, people should not be coming to see your house. They should be coming to be with you as people. The next verse is 1 Timothy 5:9-10. This section in context of the book of Timothy is called Instructions for the Church. That is all of you. So, including me. 1 Timothy 5:9-10. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. So you might be saying to me, okay, I am not a widow, and I am not over 60 years old. Or maybe you are, but you're not a widow. So why would we use this verse?
Because we should be aiming for that.
Right. It's not going to magically happen the day you may become a widow, or if you're single, right? What is the reputation throughout your life? That means this has already been the practice. And this widow in this situation with the church needs to be supported. If she didn't have family, then the church needed to know who can take care of her. We're her spiritual family. Well, has she even been faithful in the church, or did she just show up last week? Like, there's a difference there when it comes to how the church might be wise in investing in people. And so because God calls us to be hospitable, it's now in this section as almost a check. Like, was she hospitable? Or was she selfish? So you could label this one, she's practiced being sacrificial. All of these things, if you look at it, are sacrificial. She had a reputation for good works of being involved with children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints. That's not pleasant. We don't do that in this day and age, but they did. And it was the lowly servant job, cleaning someone's feet. So, you know, cleaning toilets, you name it. But has she been busy being sacrificial in even the lowly jobs, not just maybe higher things, but serving sacrificially, doing anything she can to love her God, right? That's why you would do any of these things, to love your God and to be holy as he is holy. If you would turn over a chapter to 1 Timothy 6,17-19. This section is called Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. And this says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. You don't see the word hospitality there or hospitable, but being generous and ready to share. Okay, your most intimate place would be your home, your goods, what your income is spent on. And so the instruction here is about being generous. That is living a life of faith. Okay? If I do good and I share, what if I have no more? That would be the fear and the self-preservation. God says, no, you give, and I will take care of you. Now, there may be times in hospitality where you literally have nothing, you know, and you do need to be wise. But more often than not, especially in our culture, it's not really the case. And there's plenty of Bible stories of people with very little who gave. So you just need to pray and trust the Lord and be wise under perhaps your husband's leadership, of course, on how generous you can be. I have three more verses I want us to look at. Titus 1, 7 and 8. This is the qualification for elders. Sorry, I don't know what's going on over here tonight. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. But, first thing, hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Okay, so that's an elder. We don't have to worry about that, right? Why should we still worry about that?
It is to come.
What's that?
Or it is to come. We'll get there one day.
Yeah, you know, maybe not you, but, you know, yeah, your husband could be an elder someday. What helps qualify an elder?
To have a wife.
His wife, okay. Uh-huh. Now, that's found in a different book of the Bible about, isn't it, about the husband of one wife part? No, that's right here, sorry. But it's talking about he is qualified by these particular deeds. But why should we say that's fine for the elders but not for the rest of us?
Because it's still a godlike quality.
It's still a godlike quality.
We aspire to that.
Right.
We're supposed to mimic their life.
Right. Do good as I do good,
right.
As I teach, you do, and then you become the teacher. So yeah, there's the modeling principle. We do want our elders to be above reproach. Here's a list, but we should all strive for that. And the idea here is your character, if you wanted to put a word next to that one, your character. So I have right here, 1 Timothy 3:2 also says, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. And then there's more in the next verse, but it is repeated also there in 1 Timothy as well as Titus.
If he's hospitable as the elder, obviously his wife has to be too.
Yeah.
It's a team.
So what if your elder was single? Is that possible? Yes. Mm-hmm. So he has no wife to help him, he would still need to be hospitable, right? So yes, we are helpful, but we're not necessarily in the end, right? So the next verse is Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. This section, you'll notice, is, at least in the ESV, is labeled sacrifices pleasing to God. All right, hospitality can definitely be a sacrifice. The more you embrace it, the less it will feel like it. But it is an act of worship to God. Verses 1 and 2 say, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The idea here is opportunity to reflect the gospel and to be reaching out to the world around you, and not just maybe your friend group as well. You don't know who you might be having over. You don't know how the Lord may use you. He wants us to be reaching out beyond our comfort level, right? And sharing good news through love with others. The last one I want to look at is Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19:17 says, Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. We have an idea of compassion here. And that was something we talked about back at the beginning. When we show hospitality, we are being compassionate, which is reflecting the character of God. To give to others as we would want to receive, to treat others the way we want to be treated, to help those who are in need. Oftentimes our hospitality is even delivered at someone's door, right, in the form of a meal. Even if it's, we don't get to spend the time with them, we can still extend hospitality. Maybe you're not home, but you let someone use your home. That's, you know, there's different aspects to the picture. Are there any questions about anything we've said so far? Okay, I'd like to read a section from the book The Hospitality Commands by Alexander Strock. And it's called Hospitality in the Church Today. I don't think most Christians today understand how essential hospitality is to fanning the flames of love and strengthening the Christian family. Hospitality fleshes out love in a uniquely personal and sacrificial way. Through the ministry of hospitality, we share our most prized possessions. What's your most prized possession?
Time.
Family. Your family, right? You could keep them all yourself. Share your time, your family, your home, your finances, your food, your privacy. Indeed, we share our very lives. So, hospitality is always costly. Through the ministry of hospitality, we provide friendship, acceptance, fellowship, refreshment, comfort, and love in one of the richest and deepest ways possible for humans to understand. Unless we open the doors of our homes to one another, the reality of the local church as a close-knit family of loving brothers and sisters is only a theory. You show up on Sunday morning, say hi, and leave. It's not a close-knit family. We need to be in each other's kitchens, so to speak. Literally and figuratively. A cold, unfriendly church contradicts the gospel message. I like what Sue's pickleball friend said. Oh, you're that hugging church.
Yeah.
Yay, we're getting there. Yet unfriendliness stands out as one of the most common criticisms people have of the local church. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take people long to figure out that there is a churchy love among Christians that ends at the back door of the sanctuary or in the parking lot. It could be a superficial Sunday morning kind of love that is unwilling to venture beyond the walls of this church building. We don't want that to be true. Brotherly love, however, entails intimate relationship, care for one another, knowledge of one another, belonging together, and sharing life together. We cannot know or grow close to our brothers and sisters by meeting for an hour and 15 minutes a week with a large group in a church sanctuary. The home is the ideal place in which to build relationships and closeness. Or maybe Panera, but mostly a no. In most instances, we hardly even know one another until we get in one another's homes, eat together, and talk with one another across the table. I also think of times we've like gone to conferences together, that time in the car, talking to people, staying in a hotel room, sharing a bed. You know, there's been all kinds of opportunities to get to know each other about, you really share your space with somebody. I often hear people say, oh, we just don't know anyone. We can't make any friends at church. I have a suggestion that might solve the problem. It comes from a couple who had a hard time feeling as if they belonged to their congregation. What do you think they did? Instead of leaving, as so many people do, they decided to invite every person in the church to their home for dinner during the next year. By the end of the year, they knew everyone in the church and had made a number of close friends. So what are some things that you have struggled with? You know, doesn't mean you still do, but what are some things, some reasons why we don't show hospitality?
With worrying about what people think about you and how you parent, how you, you know, keep your home.
Yes. Those are probably the top two things. Like, they're going to come in, they're going to see, A, my home and how I keep it, and they might judge me by it. they're going to see my parenting, because inevitably you have people over and your kids go insane. Or you don't want to have certain families over because their family's insane. I do like to tell people, once we had 4 kids, the invitation stopped. That is a lot of people. Now, I like to dispel the myth that small children don't actually eat a lot. So I would tell people, that doesn't mean 8 adults. It does mean 8 adults.
But they're learning self-control.
Yeah, they are. My children will sin against you. Be sure of it.
Our church, our previous church, our pastor's family, they had 7 children. And Bart and I, you know, we ended up having a home church with these people. But anyway, they told, and he had been in ministry for like almost 30 years. And I found this so unbelievable, but they said, Beth, you don't know, we could count literally on one hand the times that people have invited us to dinner. And I was like, I mean, that is amazing to me. You know,
Jenny's mom told me that when we moved here.
Yeah.
Because they have 7. And Linda's an amazing cook, so you might have a fear of man over inviting over a foodie, too.
Well, you know what?
You know, when I think about Michael Ernst, I'm like, he's eaten at a Michelin restaurant. Oh, no.
I loved it. Older, landlocked people, I had Low Country Boil, which is, you know, crab legs. Yeah. And we're in there. They're sitting there like, what can we do with this?
Maybe know your audience before you eat messy ham food, right?
Oh, okay. It was really funny, though, because they were like, oh, we don't know what to do with this.
But we have some great hospitality stories.
There's also, at least for me, as a single person, there's a fear of, if I don't know the person that well, because it's just me in my home.
You're like, I got to carry the whole conversation.
No. Oh. I'm talking, like, even from, like, a safety perspective. Yeah. If I don't know that person that well, how do I know they're not going to come in and, you know, like if I invite them, oh, they don't have a place to stay, and they're not going to come, and all of a sudden they're there for forever, you know? And so, yeah.
What can you do?
What can I do?
Or what have you done?
Pray.
Well, that, and actually, the first people I had stay at my house were people I knew. It was a mom and daughter from my church up north. Then there was a woman and her son who were going to be at a competition. I can't think of
speech and debate.
Yes, thank you. I had no idea who they were, but they were vetted by one of the women who I knew, and she's like, I can absolutely say, you know, and so I'm like,
great.
All right. And I know, like, Linda and Jim are close by, that if I needed help, I could call, you know. Mm. And they were wonderful. They were absolutely wonderful. So it was good, because it was like a step for me to take, and, you know, extend that, okay, I can trust, and I can trust in God, because what's the worst, like, you know, you said pray, what's the worst that's going to happen, and it's God's will, and he's in control, so.
Yeah,
you know.
But I appreciate your point about being wise in safety. You know, you can invite someone else to stay with you. Mm-hmm. If it's dinner, you can invite other people to join you.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to, Mark and I do that sometimes, we're like, oh, that's a really quiet couple. Mark can be kind of quiet, so that leaves it on me. So he's like, let's have so-and-so join us.
And I guess maybe, you know, becoming a Christian a little later in life, I've been single for so long, I'm maybe a little more guarded, you know. But, you know, with our church, it's a whole other story. Like, we just had the Hendrys here. I already invited Julie. She said something about maybe coming for the Super Saturday seminar in March, and I said, I have a guest bedroom, like, come and stay. I met the woman, like, one time, but there's a bond, you know, so.
Well, it's her is to love her, clearly, so.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic visit with them. Anyone else? So we had fear of man, safety consideration.
Yeah.
You had one, Barbara?
Well, I wanted to say a funny story about my son mocking me. We've always lived away from, not always, but mostly we lived away from family. And I've always felt at a holiday, it didn't seem like a holiday to me unless I was going somewhere or having someone over.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some really strange people over.
Some strange holidays, you're saying.
So my son will go, yeah, I remember the time I had, and he'll start rattling off all these kind of different people that have spent some time with us. But it's been a blessing. It really has been a blessing over the years, you know, to do it. And I, well, we lived in our last two churches. We've lived in pretty close to the church. And I became a master of time bake oven, you know, to cook my dinner. So when my husband in the morning would be making breakfast, I'd be making us lunch. So when church was over, I'd be looking for someone who didn't have anybody or kind of quiet, kind of alone. Hey, you want to come over for lunch afterwards? Because, I mean, if you're already cooking for six or eight, what difference does it make? You know, kind of thing. So I always had extra food, and it was a great blessing to do that, and it wasn't any more work.
Fear of work could be one, right? Yeah, we could add that one to the list.
I have a compliment to our church based on what she just said. It made me remember, I was talking to Ilse, remember Ilse?
Mm-hmm.
I touched base with her and we got on the phone and caught up. It was like an hour and a half conversation. Anyway, long story short, she was telling me about how she spent Easter, was it?
Yes, with the Smiths, with us at Mitchell's.
Yeah, and I didn't know that, but I was like, that's so cool. Here you have a family who's fairly new to the church, and they weren't left high and dry. They were just, you know, so a great compliment to how hospitable our church is.
Yeah. I still like that example, too, of if you're struggling with not receiving other people's hospitality, to be the one to do it, you know? Mm. That church doesn't seem loving. Okay, how are you helping?
Yeah.
You know, like, so it's on each of us to think about that, too, and we can't control what people think when they come in and out. We know that the love here is abounding, but people can slip in and we might miss them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We pray not, but it does happen.
I was just going to add to that, I think failing to plan for it is really one of the main things, because people probably have the best of intentions, like, oh, we need to have people over. And then if you don't have a plan, like, it's not going to happen, especially if you're busy with kids and, like, just life is happening. And I think, like, in a church, as our church continues to, like, grow and grow, where it's not like, you know, obviously you know from the very beginning, but even when we got here, it was so much smaller, felt more manageable, felt like I look across the sea of faces and I know every single person.
And what's going on with them.
It can be really, like, overwhelming when you come into church and you're like, okay, I know I need to be hospitable, but there's, like, 150 people in this room. So I think just having, like, goals where, okay, like, so obviously, like, my goal is we have different people in the Sunday school class, we want to have this family over, that makes it so much more manageable because there are people that are connected to our sphere of influence. So the more we're building that relationship with them, the more cohesiveness there is in like some of those group. So it's not like, and I'm not advocating don't ever have someone over that you don't know, but I think being more intentional with it is really helpful. And then you're building, you're making relational investments, and then it's like, I don't want to say that you like never have that person over again, but you kind of have them over, you've made that investment in them, and then your relationship moving forward is like, oh, I got you, I know you, like we sat down together, I know your life, I know where you're from, like just all that stuff. So it's so valuable to have a plan of, because even if like you are a lady like in this group and you're just like, I just want to invite, like, you know, get to know the other ladies in this e-book group better. Like, that's a goal. That's a hospitality goal. So just having hospitality goals, I think, is, like, what helps make you continue to do it and do it. And obviously following your husband's lead, because, you know, a lot of times your husband will say, like, oh, I want to have so-and-so over, and probably wasn't even on your mind. But you're like, all right, we'll figure out a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
So just being flexible with that, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby?
You know what's kind of fun? Is if you have a quantity in mind, like two couples, three couples, four couples, whatever your max would be, is to invite three couples and tell each of them to bring somebody and don't tell anybody else who you're bringing.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't done that. That sounds
that's
fun.
That's really interesting.
So then you get, like, you get to meet other people that you might not have invited or met, you know, whatever.
That's,
so that's cool.
And have you done that?
Yeah. Up north.
Games, you know, and
it's actually called like mystery something or other.
Barbara?
Our church used to do this thing called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Oh.
So what you would do, they'd have a list and you would either decide to be a guest or a host.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you would sign up on the list and then the secretary would shuffle
them up
and mix them up. So and they would tell you how many people you were having.
It's like a supper for six idea.
Yeah. So it'd be like, you're having six people come over, and so then you'd be going out. he only has 6 years. You're trying to figure out. Just, she's coming to dinner, you know, kind of thing. And
so the host doesn't know?
Does
only the guests know where they're going?
Well, they're given their address walking out the door. And some people, you don't know where they live. So
What day of the week did they do this? After church?
After church, yeah. So it was fun, you know, kind of thing.
I think you should run that program. let's see. Guests are handed address on way up. That's fun. Watch out. Yeah. Okay. Any other things that keep us from showing hospitality that you can think of? Bobby?
Tiredness, laziness.
You're not going to like the people. They're going to be stuck with them for hours.
this is a good point. We did get a question. I don't know if it was any of you. I'm going to guess not. Someone asked this week, is it okay to put a time limit on hospitality? So what do you guys think? Is there anything inhospitable about having an end date, end time?
I don't think so. Have you ever had somebody like, we had to say, I'm going to bed, get
out
of here?
Well, I have.
Yeah.
I've been that
person. Just for sleep. And then they leave.
Were you going to say something, Eunice?
You gonna share that? Well, no, but we had a friend, a mutual friend, Mark Axelgar, because we used to go to the same church, and he would say, right before they wanted him to leave, like people to leave, like, how can we pray before you leave?
Yes.
And it was like a clear indication.
It's a valid, sweet comment.
Yeah, it is. It's very gracious, but I'm like, okay.
We had an elder, and not one of our two, he was very hospitable. And actually, I learned so much from his wife about hospitality, mm-hmm. but he would just shut the lights out.
That was him.
He was just a funny guy, so he would just, you know, flip the lights.
I think it's really important too to like follow your husband's cues when he's ready, because
so
I do this all the time where he's like, okay, they're getting ready to leave, and then like I'll start like new conversations. And I'm just standing there for like 15 minutes, and he's like, okay,
my husband,
you're supposed
like,
to be wrapping this up.
The
and
I see the shoulder rub. The shoulder rub is sure sign. If I wrap it off.
It's so true.
Oh.
One of my kids did that to me. Came and like rubbed my shoulder because they'd seen me do it to Jonathan. And I just saw they were rubbing my shoulder.
That is so sweet.
Until, like, several minutes to like, Mom, I've been trying to get your attention. I'm like, oh, I just thought you were rubbing it.
So did that question get answered?
Oh, yes, sorry. I got distracted. I agree with all of you. That was my answer, is no. And I said, there's gracious ways to go about it. Even before they come over, you can say, oh, we'd love to have you over Friday. We have like 5:30 to 7:30, and then we got to get ready for something. So we'd love to have you over for those 2 hours. That's not offensive.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still love to come over for 2 hours. You know, so,
well,
you know, I think
Sunday now because we have night church, so that's a perfect.
That's right. There you go. Yeah. Come over after church, and we'll head to church together. That's a big, actually, a really long commitment.
No.
I have to get ready for church.
Just so I get a nap before church.
Yeah.
6 hours.
Well, and when you have little kids too, that's like the very easy one, because you're just like, you gotta get these little ones to bed. It's so great having you over.
And if you don't pay attention to your husband's cues, sometimes he's like, all right, well, I'm gonna go, and you're like, oh no, now I've got to like play with the people by myself.
My husband's leaving the room altogether. That's funny.
I was gonna say, I used to be think, well, I don't know how to cook, so how can I? And then I thought,
takeout.
And there's always pizza, and you know, it's just a matter of getting together. It's not necessarily what the menu
is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
say your house is undergoing renovation. Do you stop hospitality?
No.
Oh, invite them to Panera. You know. So yeah, take when we have meal sign-ups. That
I'm
is an opportunity for hospitality, and meeting in the meeting of needs sense. So.
Yeah. When I go over to someone else's house, I'm never like going over. Because I'm really excited about what they're going to make. I'm always like, that is so sweet that they invited us over. That's such a kindness. I don't have to cook tonight. I get to spend time with them. Like, it's all the other things, and it has usually nothing to do with the actual food.
Right.
Although I usually walk away with a recipe.
Yes, usually.
I'm like, oh,
delicious.
I wouldn't have thought of making this.
Amazing.
This is, I wouldn't have put those things together.
That's great.
Well, that's
it's educational.
Live across the street from me, and Kathy says to me the one day, she's like, I really want to have you over for dinner. We see each other walking in the morning, walking in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I really want to have you over for dinner sometime. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I'm not sure. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, I really like pizza. Well, I get a text the same day. Can you come over tonight? We're going to have pizza. And we're done.
Just be honest with one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
love that.
Barbara?
I want to make another comment about inviting people over. Some of us have food allergies,
uh-huh.
too. And so what I usually do, if I invite someone over, are there any food restrictions?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard for me, and you probably experienced this too,
mm-hmm.
when you get invited to someone's house, and, oh, yeah, I want to go, but I want to say, but you can't make this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I don't want to do is have people prepare all this food, and then there's really, I can just eat the one little thing,
yeah.
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So...
Mark and I had a funny one where he told me people were coming over, and he said that some of them were vegan, and I was like, what am I making? And then, so I'm like being super careful, and then they come over, and they're like, oh, no, it's just a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. it's a choice. Okay, that's a very different mindset than they're going to be sick from it or something.
But if you ask it ahead of time, then
yes.
it's
yeah,
easier.
People,
yeah, I think most people...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Say, is there anything, and I even say, are you allergic to anything, or do you have restrictions, or are there things that you just don't like? Like, I mean, I love seafood, but there are tons of people who live here in Florida that don't eat fish or shrimp. You know,
yeah.
I mean, so you know,
people are like, what should we not make? Fish.
Yeah.
we can deal with the rest.
So, do you make different foods when you have, like, when you, let's say, somebody has allergies? Do you make like a meal for everyone else and then separate meal for somebody else, or how do you do that?
I can't eat any gluten, so people eat everything
but
that doesn't have gluten free. You know,
yeah, there's meals.
No, if I would make lasagna because the gluten free noodles are so much more expensive than the regular, I might make two lasagna
mm-hmm.
trays
mm-hmm.
because here's the gluten one and here's the non gluten.
But yeah. from a person that you invite perspective, like, and you're the
you're
one
the host.
Yeah,
that's if I was the host and they told me they couldn't, well, okay, like. My sister-in-law can't eat garlic. I really have a hard time cooking without it. So it's like, so
I'm not sure how to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I have another friend that can't eat onions. And so the other day, like I had my brother and his wife down for dinner, and I made taco soup. And I made one with garlic and one without. And so that was theirs. And then when they left, I dumped them both together. But, you know.
I'll make two desserts. One that's either gluten-free or sugar-free or fat-free or whatever. You know, it's always good to have options.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah was eating dairy-free ice cream for a while, so I always had that option for people.
Yeah.
Got one some ice cream?
I'm glad you said it, because I wouldn't think, like, if I was inviting people over, I wouldn't think to ask, because I don't have
any
allergies.
And then you feel bad.
Like
you know, yeah, I know you probably can relate. You know. And I just feel bad. Like our neighbors, just getting to know them, because we don't know neighbors, we're just new. And they invite us to dinner. Oh, should I call them? And I thought, I'm going to take my chances. Unfortunately, they just grilled chicken, had vegetables.
Aww.
So you just trusted the Lord. And
yeah.
Went up. Yeah. When my parents were newly married, they were invited over, and they're like, what is it? They're like eating it. And they're like, what is this you've made for us? Beef tongue? My mom's been a little hesitant ever since. I can't imagine why. So we're going to go through this acrostic and then talk some more about hospitality with children and some other practical points, and the food list that I gave you as well, that you can add your favorites to. So let's look at this acrostic of hospitality. The H stands for humble. A humble person does not live like an island, within the church especially, or in seeking to be salt and light in this world, right? It's not about us. So a humble person is not seeking to be autonomous, nor just self-sufficient. A lot of times you don't even want to be invited to someone's house because of your comfort zone. You're like, I just don't feel comfortable. What if they feed me beef tongue, you know? So.
Or your children do things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you're like,
oh.
Not anymore, but I mean.
You're like, not Lizzie.
I have had children poop on carpet, not in more than one house, and I'm like, I'm so. I don't even know what to say.
Okay, you really don't want to start with the stories of what our kids have done. No, we're not going to revisit those.
It's a great
I love her anyway.
You're just like, I'm sorry. And if they're believers, they're just like, it's okay.
It's really up to each one of us to have the right attitude. Yeah. Bobby?
Forgotten. No, what you say about
being an island?
I want to be invited to somebody's house because I might have to have them back. I mean, I don't feel that way. I'm just
So yes, hospitality would include humility and getting outside of your comfort zone, either to be served or to serve. The second O is for obedient. Why should we be obedient? We need to follow the Bible's commands. I want to read to you 1 Samuel 15:22. It says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." So if hospitality is a command, God says you need to worship him by obeying him and finding a way to show hospitality. And it can look very different from family to family. There isn't one cookie cutter way, but we do all kind of admit that food is usually involved. The breaking of bread together. 1 John 2:3-6 also says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." 1 John also says, you will love one another, right? Mm-hmm. If you love me, you will love one another. So hospitality, it should be an obedience issue in your mind, in your heart. God doesn't say it needs to be once a week, once a month, once a year, but it is a regular practice as other spiritual disciplines. And we want to obey the Lord. And in the end, you should find such a joy in the actual obedience, the joy of being with people, the joy of getting to know others. Again, it's that outward focus on others. Mm-hmm. And that goes along with our S. S is for sincere. If you have people over and you paste on a smile, but you act like you're putting up with them all night, they're not going to feel like you're very sincere. They're going to be like, she's obeying because she's like, Bible says I must do, therefore I do it, but I take no joy in it. It's not really obedience, is it? It's not sincere. So you need to have the right attitude when you obey. So if you're struggling with that, you need to spend time with the Lord about the hospitality. You need to do good planning to make it maybe easier on yourself, dealing with certain fears, talking to your spouse or family about certain things, so that when the time comes, you can be others focused and be sincere in your hospitality. So the P, any guesses?
Practice.
Oh, that'd be a good one. That's not it. Prayerful. The more you practice, the better it'll, the easier it'll get, right? Mm-hmm. Prayerful. All other aspects here require prayer. All of these things on the acrostic list require prayer. It requires dependence upon God's strength. Sometimes you make a plan to have people over and your day is exhausting. Go to the Lord. You have an attitude. You don't want to do it. Go to the Lord. Your husband invites people over. You really, you know, like you had a run-in in the church bathroom last week. You really didn't want to see her for a while. Take it to the Lord. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just inventing stuff over here. But there's so many things about, you know.
Did you say venting or inventing?
Inventing.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for clarifying. How about you burn the dinner 10 minutes before they come?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. You clearly are working on my humility tonight. That's right. Jenny's raising her hand.
I did that with Michael Ernstein.
Oh, oh, yeah. Humility.
I completely Oh. And I was like, well, this is usually a really good recipe, but let's just have the sides.
Oh.
It was just because thing. You brought him up.
Yes.
Immediately we came
I up. Totally did the same thing with the same couple.
Oh. Okay, there's some intense like, stress going on.
You wouldn't put his food on Facebook.
I know, right? That pressure.
Can I check the temperature? I think at least two of us are warm. It says 73, but I'm not feel. It doesn't feel 70. All right, we'll go to 72.
Can I add something?
No. Only if it's about Michael Ernsting. Just kidding. Galena, share with us.
I also think not just praying about the when people coming over, but praying for them or with them.
Mm-hmm. Like absolutely.
I think it really connects with the love for people.
Because
I feel like whenever I pray for them, I love them way more, even though if I don't know them well enough.
Yeah.
And then you can always connect back and say, hey, remember you shared this, and you can kind of just talk about it and touch base and kind of go back and, I don't know.
Yeah. Pray for people on your way to their house if you're the one visiting others as well. I need to lock my screen here. It keeps rotating. All right, so there are so many ways that you can be prayerful, and it is very important. We just can't put it at the top because then the letters would be out of order. So for I, interested in integrity, double I, double points there. For hospitality, you should be interested in integrity. What are you talking about? Well, a lot of those commands we looked at, we're talking about living an upright, righteous life. Right? They were in the elder qualifications, the widow qualifications, an upright life. So you want to cultivate a blameless life. There's no compromise when it comes to obeying this command. So if do you want to be righteous? This is one of the things that is a part of being holy. This is one of the ways of loving God's people. Remember, he says, love God, love others. This would be under both of those, right? But such a practical way to love others. T is for trustworthy. Being trustworthy in hospitality. You want to be sincere, sacrificial. Your home or your meal, say you go out on a picnic, is a place of refuge. People stay at your home. You're not slamming things around because you're bothered they're there. You're a place of refuge. You're seeking to serve them. What's the root word of hospitality? Hospital. Think of it as you're serving. Think about nurses and doctors caring for the health and well-being of those within the hospital. Everyone is hurting in one way or another, right? Could be spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever. They're struggling at work. Everyone has a prayer request, right? So may your home, your meal, those hours, that time with people be a refuge for others. How are you going to accomplish that? You're others focused. You're not even worried about yourself. You want to show patience with others, especially when you've got the meal ready and someone's wrestling with their child. You know, there's opportunities to be patient, to be compassionate, to be a confidant. So are you trustworthy? When people enter into your hospitality, is it actually a safe zone? And if you're doing it prayerfully, if you're doing it to honor God, if you're doing it with humility, then you will. You will be trustworthy purveyor of hospitality. A is for adopted into God's family. Why should we show hospitality? This is the point about reflecting the love of your spiritual adoption upon the household of faith. Other believers are your family. Primarily, you'll probably be showing hospitality to those within your church body. All those people with the same last name. We should be showing that we are of the same family. What do families like to do? Have reunions. Celebrate holidays together. Do things, eat together, live together, side by side, help one another. So show your spiritual adoption with your local household of faith. But then we're also encouraged with the strangers aspect. All right. Okay, we know these missionaries are coming. We've never personally met them, but they're in the household of faith. And so we will have them over, and we'll be either challenged by the different things they believe, or we'll have great conversation of critical thinking. We'll learn what's going on in that country and be able to pray better for both the missionaries and those people in that other country. So, or you might have a gospel opportunity. You're now shining the light of Christ and showing the joy of what God does in believers to show hospitality and kindness. That's why it's different than entertaining. All right, even the world can entertain. So what's the difference? Is that love for others that flows from God through you out to others and is shown through both your hands and your words and your heart. You need to depend on and act like your adopted father. Again, we've talked about this. You are showing the character of God through hospitality. Act like your adopted father. Holy, peaceful, forgiving, merciful, generous. And you may need to depend on God, especially when you're tired. We talked about being tired or lazy or fearing man. Those are not things that are fruit of the Spirit. We need to depend on God to have His Spirit shown through us. Which leads us to the L, which is led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Be hospitable through God and for God. Have you ever had a guest criticize something you've cooked or in your home? Maybe unintentionally. Well, in my house, we have da-da-da-da-da. So, being hospitable may exhaust you. Guests may not be thankful. You might be criticized. Their children may break something. They may break something. Yeah. But if you are walking by the Spirit, you will act out the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience, etc. You'll realize these are just material possessions, right? The forester stayed in our house while we were gone, and she's like, "What did?" I'm like, if I care about those material possessions more than you and your family, I've got a problem. I'll put away anything I'm worried about. But I don't even remember what I put like a breakable plant out of the way. You know what? I want to care more for your needs than worry about my material possessions. Again, it's like that eternal perspective. It's just stuff. It's just a vase. It's just whatever. I don't know. I don't have vases sitting around, but I don't know why that's always the picture in my head. They broke a vase. No, it's usually like your teapot or your mother's teapot. So being led by the Spirit, regardless of how others may never have you back, maybe we're hoping they invite you over, so you invited them over, they never have you back. You need to be led by the Spirit. Learn to see the blessings, carry others' burdens, have God cultivate that fruit of the Spirit in your life. I is for instrumental. So hospitality is instrumental in producing righteousness. It should not be producing wickedness in you. Because then if it does, then God's just revealing something that needs to be crucified anyway, right? So you may say, okay, we're going to start doing more hospitality. I know it's a command. We need to do it. We'll start with these people that are easy to love, which is fine. And then things get broken. They're unkind, you know. You have anxiety about it. It doesn't go great. Conversation fell flat. someone had a really bad attitude. Maybe it was, you know. It should be instrumental in producing righteousness. So even when all those things go wrong, how do you handle when things go wrong? How do you handle when something gets broken? How do you handle when you burn the food in front of someone who's a really great chef? So regardless of all those things, it should and can be an act of sanctification in your life.
I think I was just going to share, like, my husband Ben always helps me when I fear, like, those anxious thoughts. He always reminds me, like, is this actual a sin issue? Should you actually be worried about it? If it is sin, you should, mm-hmm. you know. But if it is a preference or, you know, or our food is burned or it didn't turn out, like, it's not a sin, so we shouldn't be so consumed with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good distinction for me in my heart. Like, I care too much about preferences, where I should be more caring about my attitude,
yeah,
which could be a sin.
Good, yeah, so. Absolutely. So, hospitality could be sanctifying you in your fears. We listed a lot of those fears earlier. If you identified with any of those, start having hospitality to work on that. it could be sanctifying you because you're tight with your money and you need to practice generosity. It could sanctify you in your time. Well, we don't have a lot of time. Oh, wait, but God still said we should. We should obey it. How can we make it work? Like we said, there's no verse that says how often, but anything spiritual with doesn't have a timeline. It's just a desire to do it, and when you can. Obviously, there's seasons too. Small children, illness, renovations in your home. You know, we talked about those things. You could be sanctified in your patience. Sometimes we have people over that are very, 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 very talkative. You know, and you have to learn to practice good listening skills, or very, very quiet, and you have to learn how to draw them out without feeling like you're playing 20 questions. So how to love the unlovable, how to work on your selfishness, your comfort zones, even your thoughts, like Eunice said, Philippians 4:8, am I thinking things that are right and true? Have I now made judgments just from this one thing they said? There's lots of ways that hospitality can sanctify you. So it can be instrumental in producing righteousness. The T is for thankful. Thankful. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Keep in mind that an unthankful heart will never hospitalize. We'll make that word, hospitalize. If you're thankful for what God's given you, then you're usually more willing to share it. If you're thankful that he even gave you breath, you're willing to share that with others. So be thankful for what you have, for maybe your health, that you can have hospitality. I'm sure there are people who are older or elderly who can't do that anymore. And so be thankful for your opportunities. All that you have is God's, to be used for God, through God, and because of God. And if you're thankful and you recognize that everything you own is from him, including your time, then you will be thankful and willing to share it with others. And then the Y is for yielded. I didn't look up this verse. Let's see what it says. Okay, so this is under the title of Slaves to Righteousness. Romans 6:19 says, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members or your body as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So we want to seek to have a being willing and being joyful to follow God's leading and God's commands. Are you yielded in this area? Some of you are like, I really don't know what you're talking about because I just love this. This is fantastic. As I always tell my husband, I'd have 5 times as many people over as we actually do if it was up to me, which it's not. So it's actually my sanctification to hold back in hospitality. and that's God's sanctification for me. So some of you are like, this is not a struggle. You know, this is not where the Lord is refining you. For some of you, it is where he's refining you. So we can be patient with one another in that. So I have some quotes. This one is by a gal named Lori Twibel in this book. And she says, while entertaining is having guests with everything prepared and served correctly. Because it's a show, right? Hospitality is having people feel comfortable in my home and happy to be there no matter what we're doing or what we're eating. So that's a difference between entertaining. The goal of entertaining is having guests with everything prepared and served correctly. We're struggling with that, aren't we? We don't want the food burned. We don't want them to see the dirt. We want people to think they came to visit a model house. There's one of those down my street. That's that house. That's not my house. We live here. But with hospitality, it's having people feel comfortable, loved, welcomed, no matter what you eat or what you do. Hospitality and children. So let's talk about having hospitality while you have children. When I was growing up, my mom, I would say it was my mom's friends. They lived in the little backwoods town we were in up on the hill, and they had a bunch of children. I don't even remember. There were only two in my house, so to me, they just had a bunch. It could have been four. I don't know. But her motto in life was, treat your family like guests and your guests like family. Mm-hmm. And I've remembered that since I was a child, because my mom would repeat it, and she's like, I need to work on this, you know, get out the china for your own children. Don't just save the special things for others. Can you think of that? You're like, my mom only got that out when we had someone else. There's a specialness to these things. Does your family feel like they are also as special as the way you treat guests? Or do they always get the broken cookies? They always get the leftover bits. You never bring out the china just for the family. You see what I'm saying? There's ways to treat your family like guests. And then you want your guests to feel comfortable.
You
put your feet up.
Broken cookies.
Yeah. Here's the burned roast. Let's share it together. So wait, you know, you weren't showing them how, I'm not saying this well. If people walk into a home and all you say is, I'm sorry it's this, I'm sorry it's that, I'm sorry all we have is macaroni, I'm sorry, don't look at that, excuse that, are you making them feel comfortable?
No.
Stop saying any of that stuff. Just welcome them in, let them think what they want, enjoy your time, and Lord willing, their heart is thinking the right things. You can't control it anyway. So stop making excuses because it makes people feel uncomfortable. Make people feel comfortable. Make your guests feel like family. And this is a point about the children. If our children feel unloved, abandoned, or ignored while we diligently extend hospitality to friends and strangers, we have opened the door for developing bitterness and animosity towards what?
Yes.
Hospitality and guests in the hearts of our children. That's by Lisa Tatlock. That is a good thought, too. There is this little video that came out on the internet years ago, and my kids just laughed uproariously about it. And I was like, it was a guy, but he was pretending to be his mom. And he's running around the house being a mom before company comes over, you know, and he's vacuuming everything and these chairs aren't exactly, and this should be decorated and don't let people look like we sit here. And I was like, oh, it was the hardest when the kids were small because everything was constantly snowing and mess, you know? You're like shoveling the mess just to have people over. It's a little easier now. But I was like, oh, I identify with that. And I didn't want my children to really feel that way. You know, I wanted them to laugh at it, but not really understand it. It was a little late. And so that's definitely been something that I've had to grow in. And to your word, practice, you might as well write it on there somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. You'll get better. You'll get smoother, you'll get kinder, you'll get more generous the more you practice hospitality. And so with your children as well, sometimes it is good to just have them play outside so they don't destroy the hard work you have put in. Sometimes it's great to have them join in. I can think of going to people's homes where the kids helped prepare some of the food, little pudding cups over at the Bergstrom's. So there's different ways to go about it. And I was more impatient at the beginning. So early on, it was best to, you know, wait to clean up the most important place last while I had the kids play outside, and, you know, because of my own, but then just slowly learning how to incorporate them. So evaluate your struggle if you have small children. Include them in the preparation if you can. Make sure you allow extra time because you will get it down to the wire and someone's going to need to be spanked. And all of a sudden you've lost the half hour and something's burned.
I was going to say, I struggle with that, obviously, with little kids. But I found that if I do all of the prep and everything as much as I can in the morning or even the night before, it is so much smoother.
There you go.
Like, just put it in the oven and, you know.
So you found what you needed to do to not make your children feel like they were less important than
exactly.
your guests by the planning.
Preparing. Yeah, exactly. Good point.
Was that our actual P? Well, there's so many P's. Planning, prayerful, practice. Do things ahead of time as much as you can. Guard relationships as more important than perfectionism. I'm not coming to your house for perfection.
I was just going to say, like, along the same lines with Eunice and what you said about the child needing to be spanked, like, just, like, viewing everything that happens that's, like, that goes wrong as a providential test from the Lord to just act righteously in that moment. Because, like, when you clean your house and you're really excited about someone's coming over, everything's, like, has that fresh, like, laundry smell. It's amazing. And then you're like, okay, Somebody come over in 5 minutes. We're just pooped right now. And that is so exasperating. But it's like, okay, the Lord is testing me right now because I want to have the perfect home. And he's like, nope, you have a baby, so you need to go love your baby, change diapers.
Yes.
So just all those moments when you just view it as, I can either choose to sin, mm-hmm. or I can slow down and be like, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing. I want to respond righteously. So,
Jenny?
I think it's funny that these things, because it was your point earlier, that you have never thought once, like, what are we going to eat? Or it's funny that so many times we would sit here and say, I don't care what we would eat. I don't care what their house looks like. Right. I don't care if their kids are out of control, mm-hmm. because I get it. Mm-hmm. But then on the flip side,
we do it to ourselves.
Yes.
We're that person. It's like, I don't care at all. So why do I?
Mm-hmm. Why do I assume?
It probably comes down to pride, because we want to.
Humility.
Yeah.
That's why that's on the top of the list.
The motives just get muddy because there is that genuine desire to love the person by presenting them with this really, you know, clean, hospitable home. But at the same time, it's like, you still live here and they need to see that. It's real, real life. So.
But if you're a really bad housekeeper, like, just go to Panera. Yeah, picnic outside.
Yes.
Like, sit on the back porch. Like,
and then work on your priorities in between.
Yeah. Right. Like, get 15 girls, hire them, come over, help me clean so I can be hospitable.
If your house is presentable all the time, which it should be, I mean, no, it should be, you know, not for everybody else, but
for the sake of your family.
Your husband and your family. Yeah. If your house is, I've learned over the years, and this is the flip side of it, for something for you to look forward to, is I don't even care really, because my house pretty much, it's only us. Mm-hmm. I have a dog, that's the worst thing, is because it's hair, but I have to vacuum
get it all
a lot.
And you don't have to worry about
that. Next dog will be hairless or blonde, because black
or no dog.
But, if your house is pretty much presentable anyway, my big thing is clean after they leave. It's, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I mean, if anybody popped in on me, it might be like untidy, like I might have magazines or, you know, I mean, it might be.
God forbid.
It might be a little untidy.
Yes.
But it's never going to be unhealthy.
Yeah.
And if someone popped in, I'd be fine with that. But as far as having somebody over, I mean, I have to kind of time, pick up. But as far as, like, I'm not going to necessarily wash the floor before you come.
Right. I used to do that,
especially,
and I realized it was a waste of time.
No, especially if you've got the kids.
Right.
I won't do it in the beginning. I'll leave.
Yeah. Mark Xantho used to tell me when she knew we were coming over with crawling babies, she would scrub her floor. And I was like, oh.
Aww.
I mean, that doesn't happen at home, but that's sweet.
I mean,
but that's our dirt, you know.
In my house, that isn't true because I have a dog. So just, you know.
And there's dog spit on the floor. Anyway.
No. I'm just saying. You got the kids, you got the dog.
As well, since we're talking about hospitality and children, recognize that people, when they do come to your house, they are watching your parenting, though. They're watching your shoving your children away because you don't want to be bothered. They're watching whether you are actually preferring your children over them, as in some instances you should, but not so much that you're ignoring your guests. So recognize that people are watching your parenting and your family interactions. They are learning a lot about you, just like you do. You're learning about them. So our goal is, with that whole hospitality list, we're seeking godliness. Mm-hmm. We want to share, if we're weak, our guests might be able to help us. Mm-hmm. If we're strong, we might be helping them. There's a lot of discipleship involved in what's going on. We are iron sharpening iron, rubbing off on either. It's either sharing the gospel, sharing parenting tips, sharing, you know, it's inevitable when people come over, they ask me about something that went on in the process of the visit. You know, and it's such a grace. Or you go to someone's house and you go home with a new recipe. It's just so just lovely between how we learn and grow from one another. So I can think of times where I was impatient with my children because I was so focused on this. We don't want to have that be our goal. We want to be loving to our children, recognize they are important, but they're also not the center of it all either. That's a whole nother EWIT night. In the midst of it, having company may give you opportunity for children to practice manners that you've been teaching them. How to prepare a home for others, okay? We're having company. What would you like to do to prepare? Oh, I'm going to go make my rooms great, you know? I know, it happens on occasion.
I'm going to go build Legos for them.
That's not helpful.
I kind of like having two stories now because it's like, oh, they're not going to go upstairs. You're teaching your children manners of serving others. I mean, I will remind my kids sometimes before they come, I want you to come through and clear the plates so that they're not in their way so I don't have to hop up and get it. It'd be great if you could, and you know, are you done? Teaching them how to ask, how to remove plates, how to do things. When we have company, I always have the company go first. Like if we have a buffet thing, and that was super hard for some of my kids. I one in particular. Every time I'm like, behind the guests. Because they're like, Mark's praying, and they're like in line with the plate, and I'm like, what? So, I mean, obviously it was something that had to be learned. It's a good thing we had guests over so we could constantly practice letting the guests be deferred to.
How about the stuff?
Or older people. I have my parents, when we have my parents over, I'm like, no, Grammy and Papa go first. We honor the ones who are older. Children, no, this is not the time for you to be going first. So there's a lot of times with young mamas, they are getting kids' food first. But then there comes a time where it's good for them to learn to actually go last. What were you going to say, Sue?
I was just going to say, or the things that you don't want the kids to say. Like, I remember when we were growing up, we were raised Catholic, and my uncle was a priest, and he would come down every week or every other week, like on a Tuesday. And I remember one time, it was one of my brothers, he comes, and we're glad you're here, Uncle Bob, because we get to have a really good dinner, a special dinner when you come. It's like, you think, every other night of the week, what does she serve?
go ahead, Barbara.
Another comment, too. Not talking about being hospitable, but when you go and you're the guest. Mm. We had four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I would go to people's homes, everybody has different levels of what you allow kids to do in the home.
Yes.
And I would always say to them, to the host, hostess, please tell me if my children are doing anything that you don't want them to
do. Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh. Because, like, in my house, my kids never were allowed to stand on the furniture. You know, uh-huh. Couch and, stuff. Mm-hmm. And it would really irritate me when people come to my house. And I never had any nice furniture, but it's just like, it was just a thing.
Yeah, it's a valid point. Be a thinking parent. If I let my kid do this at my home, mm-hmm. they're probably going to do it at other people's homes. Mm-hmm. So there may be, you may actually have to make some rules in your home for the sake of when you go to other people's homes.
Or at least say to them, when we're at someone else's house, we don't stand on the furniture.
Yeah, this is a very special treat.
Climb on the table.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and that's like a whole part of it too, because like when you go to someone's house and you still have young kids, you're not like, you don't like check out from being a parent.
Absolutely.
So it's not
please don't.
Go play and then like 2 hours later, like, I hope you guys are still alive. Like, just, you have to go with the expectations. There's going to be times when you need to correct.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing something at their house that you're like, you never do this at our house. So just all of those things
great
are just
point.
Good expectations to have going into that situation.
Yeah.
You know?
Even as a single person, like, it was a thing I had to learn going to other people's houses that had children. If the child needs their parent, it's like, okay, I'm a guest, but I'm not the center of attention. I need to say that if that parent, you know, is trying to focus on me, I need to say, okay, you know, it's okay.
Yeah,
I'll
stop talking
thought.
So they
yeah.
can deal
I'll
with
hold
it.
That
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, do what you have
yeah.
to do.
Yeah,
you know, and
great.
A lot of times they go, thank you, you
yeah.
know, like,
because yeah.
they're trying to be hospitable to
right.
you, but it's kind of like, I'll remember what I was going to say. Go
right.
do what you mm-hmm. got
to
do. You know?
Yeah, and if you go to someone's house who has small children, with your children, they put in a lot of effort to be ready for you to come. So leave the house the way you found it. Teaching your children to clean up what they played with at someone else's house is a huge gift
She's
back to
excellent.
Your Back to your hosts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She is excellent because she's taught. You've taught your children.
Well,
seriously.
And too, one thing, because my, you know, now my grandchildren, but I mean, I have to teach them. You don't just go to somebody else's house and start opening all the drawers. You know, I mean, it's fine to come to my house, you know,
yeah.
You can open anything, but don't go looking at all the cabinets and whatever. I mean, children are naturally curious, so,
yeah.
You know, there may be something you do at home or at my house, but you don't do that when you go to some place you don't know.
Yeah. It was very, it wasn't spoken to me, but it was very obvious to me when we first had the Macellas over, like 11 years ago, that her boys were told not to eat a lot. It wasn't told to me, but I was like, aren't you gonna, I made like two and you've only eaten one. So that was an interesting thing. I observed that Linda had taught her kids, just take the minimum amount to satiate and then wait and see, especially if you have a lot of boys, which Jenny has a lot of brothers. Yeah. So I was like sending food home with them because I had imagined that they were going to eat a lot.
Well, we have seven grandsons, and like when we have everybody together, I mean, I have to say, you know, one spoonful. I mean, we've got to take everything, you know, until everybody gets through serving their plate. Or we've
It's a good point at potlucks, too. My parents used to say at their church, the kids would all run to the front of the potluck line again, load up, and before they even got to the front where it was now empty, people were throwing away plates of food.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's just... I mean, we could have a whole parenting event here now. Practical points for hospitality. I have several here. Who should you show hospitality to? True. But the first one I'm going to say is actually your family. If you are blessed to have family locally, they should not be ignored in the area of hospitality. Right? Your family is your primary opportunity. And sometimes your primary sanctification. So we have looked at our calendar and picked two nights a week. We have my parents over. And it's a grace to my mom. So she doesn't even have to cook those two nights. One of them is on Elders Night. You know, Mark's not there anyway. So it's a real casual thing. And then Saturdays, we always have them over. Unless there's something going on. If I didn't do that, guess how often I'd have my parents over? So I have to plan it. So make sure your family knows that they're a priority. Even if it's once a month, if you have local family, show them that your home is a hospital for them too. Friends, that's the joyful thing, right? We love having our friends over for hospitality. So you know what? They're on the list. Do have those refreshing times with people you know you are mutually... It's going to be a mutually edifying or fun type of thing. You're showing your friends, I love you, by having them over. The problem is sometimes we stop there, right? We just have our friends over, and we need to get outside our comfort zone. You could have a group of women over, right? I can think of Myrna does this a lot. Is there anyone else you can think of? I know Myrna. She has her lunches.
I do it.
And yes, Edie and Bobby. And I know, like, even when my mom came here, Myrna invited her right away, and that's how my mom started establishing friends. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. They can do it during the day. If that's better for your husband, fantastic. Get the young moms together. Different women you could have for mutual edification or even discipleship. Have it take place in your home.
That's another one. I got an invite to the island and, you know, stayed overnight and everything.
Aww.
Yeah. So.
A little vacay.
Yeah. Well, we're slowly but surely trying to make our way around. We'd love to have everybody come over.
That's so fun. I love hearing that. Sue will like this one.
<Uh-oh>.
Invite singles over. One or more than one. They don't always get invited. You know, you think that I need to have a ton, like families or da da da.
Well, if you're attached to the Macella family.
There you go. That is a grace in your life indeed, right? We tend to involve ourselves with people just like us. Back to the friends thing. Or, oh, we have in common, we have kids the same age. Okay, but let's challenge ourselves. How about singles? How about widows? How about older? How about younger? Adopting younger people. Adopting grandparents because you don't have any locally. They would love that. Invite large families. We made this point earlier. They don't get asked much. and they don't eat as much as you think. Because they're amazed that you've invited them over, and they're all saying to their kids, don't eat too much. And don't touch too much, and don't talk too much. So go ahead and invite the large families. Invite visitors that come to the church or strangers. Again, get outside your comfort zone. Be welcoming, be a blessing to people who visit. That has been, I mean, it's usually pretty shocking. It's amazing, you know, there's someone new and you have them over and, wow, we had no idea. Oh, you know that person? You know, anyway, it can be a real blessing. Invite your leadership over. Invite your missionaries. We recently had an opportunity. We had the missionaries in town. Linda was making sure that they had lots of invites to get to know the people in our congregation and feel connected to us who are financially ministering to them. They want to know where it's coming from. They want faces behind the dollar signs. It's really, really what matters and encourages them. Have your pastors, your Sunday school leader, your children's Sunday school teachers, et cetera. Have the Kids for Truth leader over. I was pointing at your husband, not you. Just different people that are serving you, you can serve them that way. They would love to do that. It's an easy way to show thankfulness and to ask them their prayer requests. Sometimes they're not often asked that. You can, that would be a great way to serve them. Other people you want to thank in the church, again, we just said that, your children's teachers, people you see working behind the scenes, they're always the ones serving. Have them over and serve them. And then the final one is actually the first one that Megan said, anyone and everyone. Show no partiality, the book of James tells us. Rich, poor, friends, strangers. A couple of hows. Kristen and I read this article 11 years ago, and we have not been able to find it. It must have disappeared off the internet. But the phrase stuck in our minds. The whole blog post was about having macaroni and cheese friends. So we use that phrase now. Be a macaroni and cheese friend. Or maybe with Katie and Steve, it was the spring roll friends, right? You don't have to put on a four-course dinner. You can make box macaroni and cheese pizza. And be hospitable. You can order pizza. Yes. We have pizza a lot with certain friends. You know what? If that is really what works best for you, nobody minds. They're there for the people, not necessarily the food. One of my favorite quotes is from Michelle Duggar. If you're coming to see me, come over anytime. We'll eat macaroni and cheese. If you're coming to see my house, give me 2 weeks' notice. At least we'll know where we're at, right? How hospitality? Prepare your heart. So that's your relationship with God. Why am I doing this? How can I serve? Lord, give me words to speak if the conversation dies. Rely on your Heavenly Father. Prepare your heart. Prepare your home and your food. So you're going to be, if it's at your house, you're going to be preparing food. You're going to be planning ahead, working ahead. When the Mitchells didn't live in town and they would come for like several days at a time, it was like, okay, what are we going to have? I need something ready early for breakfast. And then she would always ask, what can I bring? So I'm thinking also, oh, she's going to ask me, what could she bring? Have that list ready to go. What is the atmosphere of your home? If you're stressed out, it's not very comfy. If you've got a busy season, be honest, it's not a good time right now. You know, there's all these things going on. You don't want to have people over and then they all they feel is your stress. And they're like, I really shouldn't have come. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're starting with enough time to accomplish the work. And what you don't get done, let it go. Right? Oh, man, this was funny. When we had when the Duckworks were new and we had all the elders. And I totally forgot to put the silverware out. Nick sits down. He's like, did I miss the silverware? And I was like, oh, my word.
But the table was decorated like immaculate.
There was decor, there were plates, there were glasses.
There were gift bags.
Who needs silverware?
Finger food.
Back to the humility, that's right. And what were we eating? It was not finger food.
Soup.
No.
Soup? Thanksgiving dinner.
Thanksgiving dinner. Uh-huh. I love hospitality traditions, too. We'll talk about that with the foods. Every year now, I try to do Thanksgiving dinner with the elders in like October or September. It's just fun, you know? We don't eat enough Thanksgiving. Pre-plan the time. This has been a big help for Mark and I. I'll say like, hey, do you have a plan for what we're going to talk about with so-and-so? Or he has an agenda and I need to find out what it is. He's like, yeah, I really want to talk about this. So I'm thinking, I can tell his cues when he's like, we've talked about all the chit-chatty stuff. It's like, I need to start being quiet so he can start whatever it is he's going to do. So pay attention to things prepared to talk about. Be ready to share your testimony. Be ready to ask someone. Conversation dies. Hey, I haven't heard how you were saved. Tell me about that. I like to do that with the kids' friends, too. We had some teenagers over two Sundays ago, and I was like, I hear you were saved last November. Tell me about that. It was fantastic. I love hearing what they say. Plan some games or activities. Eunice and Ben have a new game I keep meaning to play and haven't yet. Spouseology.
Oh.
Mm. So any kind of games that have questions or, let's say we played Pictionary with the Doyles before. That's funny. Do you have a campfire? Some of you make plans around going out to the campfire after dinner. So you can have events around food. You're going to take a walk around the neighborhood. We had a new family. They had five kids. I knew they were active. I'm like, let's go climb that hill over there. And it's fantastic, you know.
There's a hill in Florida?
I know. It's not there anymore. It disappeared. Okay, so when? When should you have hospitality? What do you think, Megan?
Anytime.
Anytime. Everyone.
When you're out of town. My kids were hospitable when we were in California. Hey, can we have people over? Sure, go for it.
Oh, that's right.
They went to the store, they shopped, they hosted. Mm-hmm. Intentionally. We're inviting these new people from youth group who we haven't seen disconnected.
Ooh. Were you worried about your stuff getting broke?
I was amazed. I was like, Anna wants to run this? Stuff. Awesome, go for it.
I knew she wasn't going to say yes. So here are some times. You could have an afternoon tea time. We had Janet over once a week for tea for years, once a week for tea. It was so sweet, and it was fun because my kids were learning. But you could have different ladies over. Tea is, I think it's just really fun. I was taught that by another mom in Jupiter when we lived there. So we started having kid tea parties. We included the boys, and we had the kids drink tea. So we just, my kids each found a tea they liked, and I made sure to stock it. It's sometimes less prep work. You're not doing a whole meal. I just do little snacky things. Sometimes I don't even prepare. I'm like, I know I've got nuts and bread and whatever. We'll figure it out. You could do fancy dinners. There's nothing wrong with seeking excellence, right? Now, again, you go back to your heart. Am I doing this to put on a show, or am I doing it because I just want it to be lovely? It's okay to want a special dinner where it looks like a magazine cover, as long as you're doing it to bless them and not for praise. So you can do fancy dinners, fancy table decor, and pricey foods. That's fine. Or it can be casual, comfort food, comfortability. You're like, hey, we're having make your own sub sandwich and macaroni and cheese because that's what the kid wants. That's fine. Group meals. You know, as long as you're having two people over, why not have eight? So make it a group. Kill more birds with one stone. The conversation doesn't all rely on two or three of you. Have people over on holidays. You're not going anywhere, you don't have local family, invite some other families in who don't have family either. And oftentimes I'll have to invite like eight different families before I find the right number that, because they're like, no, I already have plans. Okay, that's fine, I'll go. You just keep asking until you collect the number that you know you can have over. Sunday lunch, we talked about that. Overnights, do you have a guest room? Do you have a room you can make a guest room? We have done this a lot with our family. We did not know the Mitchells. We had never met them in our lives when they first stayed at our home. She was pregnant with number six, so five kids. I just remember talking to her on the phone. I'm like, what are your kids' names again? What are their ages? And I'm like trying to line it up with my kids. And okay, where are they going to sleep? And it was an opportunity, you know? So again, they were in the household of faith. Open your home to travelers, family, missionaries, people coming for conferences. Be available. Also, you can do it outside your home. Restaurants, picnics, parties, showing hospitality outside the home. But just, you know, you got to plan, you got to make the time, you got to check your budget. Here are a few little tidbits from Jill, it's called. Rely on your husband's leadership. the seasons of your life, and his requests in this area. There were some seasons when work was super busy for Mark, or he was working two jobs, and he's like, you know what, for the next 3 months, no one, please. You know, we just can't do that. It hasn't been that often, but when the kids were small and he had the work pressure, he was just like, ah, okay, let's give it 3 months, and then you can start having some people back over. The outgoing spouse can know that they're going to kind of help lead the conversation, not just that they're, why aren't we talking, you know? Know that you are, you know, you're the husband's helpmeet, or you know he's going to be doing a lot of talking, and so have the outgoing spouse lead the way. Don't have so much hospitality. Okay, now we can swing the other way. You have people over every day or every single weekend that you neglect your primary responsibilities. The laundry's never getting done. The dishes are, you know, you're eating on paper plates because the dishes are always dirty from company. Your husband never sees you. You don't have time to be alone with him. You don't have time to parent because you're so busy having people over. So guard against the opposite extreme of doing it too much and neglecting your primary responsibilities. Guard other people's time. Watch your guests. Are they yawning a lot? Mark's aunt used to always take her jewelry off when she was tired, and we're like, time to go. You just knew it was time to go. And then when you're at someone else's house, look for you can see the sign, you know? You're like, okay, they're ready to go. I need to wrap it up and stop keeping them here. Be willing to be spontaneous when needs come up. Okay, I'm just going to stop by the store on the way. You meet us there in half an hour. We'll be ready to go. And we'll just throw everything in the laundry room that's piled in the hallway. True story, 2 weeks ago. consider one of my favorite phrases, backdoor friends are best. That doesn't work in every neighborhood. But you know what? Do you have an open front or back door that is a comfortability? People stop by and you're like, you weren't expecting it, but you're like, hey, can I make you a cup of coffee? That's hospitality. That could be for 5 minutes. Allow others to contribute. People are always going to ask, what can I bring? So I always just know in my head, this is the thing. If they ask, if they don't ask, I'll go get it. But in my head, I always know. So there was a summer that we tried to have like 4 families every Sunday night during the summer, because it was like North Campus, South Campus, older people, younger people, and we were like mixing people up. And so I just knew I'm going to offer the salad, the chips, and the drinks. Every week, I'd have everyone ask. So just know ahead of time, because people like to contribute. Keep easy meals on hand for spur of the moment. I try to keep some, now I've started keeping some gluten-free box mixes in my pantry, so they're handy for people that need gluten-free or other things like that. I have on here the let's pray before you go comment for dawdlers. Consider having traditions. You always have the same people the same day of the week, same day of the year. You always go to a certain place. One of Mark's aunts had a tablecloth. They always had the guest sign. So when you went over, you had this tablecloth with signatures all over it. Cool. Or a guest book. Some people do the guest book to remind themselves. Edie does that, right? Mm-hmm. So you can try different things like that. We have a tradition every Christmas holiday, every summer. We try those 2 times. We always get together with one particular family because we know they're busy all the other times. So the parents always go out, or we do something with the kids over Christmas and in the summer. Consider delivering hospitality. So you're dropping food. You're bringing flowers. You're taking them a meal. You're bringing the baby gift. That's also a way of serving and being hospitable. Again, it's that giving mentality. It is kind to take a hostess gift when you're invited over, usually for the first visit. I have a thing I started years ago. Once we moved here, we started driving to my sister-in-law's house and staying for several nights. So we got like 12 people in 1,300 square feet. Everyone gets 100. And I was just like, you know what? That is a lot. I'm just going to take her a little gift every single time. Usually it was like Bath and Body soap I had bought for $12 or whatever. But just that little thing is a thank you, you know? So just consider, it's not a requirement, but it is kind. A lot of people bring flowers or chocolate or whatever. Make your home open to your children's friends. Try to be the teen hangout if you have teens. We went through seasons of this. It wasn't consistent. Consider hospitality when you're buying a house. Will this house work? We had friends at this church who were like, that dining room would not have fit more than two other people. I was like, wow, that is good thinking. You know, can we fit everyone we want to fit in that in buying a house? Keep a stock of toys for when you have people with children over. Have a portable high chair and a pack and play available. Start a ministry at your church, suppers for six, etc. And don't quit. Be persistent. So the other paper I gave you is just some meal ideas. Obviously, you might have totally different ideas. You could just write next to these if you want. What are my quick after church meals? What are my casual dinners, my fancy things? What do I serve a group? So these are ideas that you could just add to whatever it is you may already do. I love, because whenever we go to someone's house, they really always surprise me. It's never anything that's on my list. So just use this for help if you need it, especially the teen one. There was a while there I was making, what was it? What do you call it when you fry a burrito?
Chimichanga.
Thank you, chimichangas. I was like, the kids were so happy. They're like, we love when our friends come over and you make chimichangas. Like, okay, I'm just going to stock that stuff all the time. So, you know, it is. It's great to just stock stuff for knowing these things might happen. Or being as simple as, oh, well, we have microwave popcorn and frozen fruit. Let's have smoothies and popcorn. Teenagers are usually fine with that kind of stuff. And then I wrote some ideas on here if you have a tea party, because we've done a lot of those.
What's a sub sandwich ring?
So either Publix makes it in a ring shape and you can buy it ready to go.
Okay.
Or for a while, that was actually, I used to make that homemade too. Where is that, under groups?
Teens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's when you run by the store and you grab the, it's called a ringleader. We've served it at potlucks and stuff. So it's just a pre-made version of the sub sandwich. We had company a couple weeks ago. We just grabbed the bread and the meat and the cheese at the store. And my mom taught me to lay a chip bag on its side and just cut a line in it. And it's an instant bowl.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Isn't that a fun one? That's my mom. So any other comments you want to share? Some tricks of your trade? Something someone's done for you that you thought was amazing? Maybe you do it now.
Edie has
Jenny?
Great ideas too.
Edie, she talk has, to Edie.
Yeah, she
she's over in Bev's group sharing them all.
When we moved into our house a couple of months ago, I had two neighbors that, like, right off the bat I noticed were super, super pregnant. So I, like, kept my eye on them, and within 6 weeks, they
she popped.
Had babies, and it was such a great opportunity, because I took them meals, and one of them, it was kind of funny, because we found, it, like, got things started, it was just an easy in, and one of them, I found out we had mutual friends, and she works for my midwife, and I was like, what? So it was, like, instant friends. And the other one, she said no one had ever brought her a meal before.
Oh,
when she had a baby, I was like,
you can't imagine,
wow.
Right?
So, like, that was huge to her, and she's super quiet, so it, like, gave us that head start that maybe we wouldn't have normally had, and because of that, it's like anytime I see her outside, we already have that, you know, it was just an easy way to establish.
I have a question. I have a hard time, because I'm Southern through and through, and I mostly do quote-unquote Southern cooking. When I see people in the church who need meals, I never know what to take. Like, for ladies who have babies or whatever, because I don't know what young... I mean, I feel like I'm old and I have sort of old-fashioned meal ideas. I don't know what young families eat.
Tell me three of your old-fashioned meal ideas.
Well, I would make, you know, meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and green beans.
Yum.
Or I
okay, next.
Or a lasagna. Or
fantastic.
Which I know you don't eat lasagna. I heard you say that.
And she wants to serve you by not making a lasagna. She's keeping a note.
Yeah, poor guy. He's never
going to
get it.
But
Eric likes lasagna.
And I do a lot of casserole things, like, you know, chicken and yellow rice, or, you know,
people want all that stuff, Beth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know. And so
the key is, it's a meal that someone else makes that the new mom doesn't have to make.
Yeah.
All of your stuff is great.
And
yeah. Amen.
And rice, or a lot of, yes. There's nothing offensive about them.
And it's gluten free.
Yes.
There you go.
Well,
easily dairy free.
And I eat dairy free. And I, you know, I mean, there are things. I know, but I mean, usually that's not what people think are good. You know, I mean.
It doesn't matter. If you're great.
Yeah. I haven't met anyone who wasn't thankful for every meal they got.
Bring over cereal and milk.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
You don't care.
A thing of eggs.
You
just have a
baby. You want to sleep. And you want your child to survive. The other people to cook. You know? You are so grateful.
I signed up to bring a meal when Jenny had a baby, but it was... tell me what you want from Corona.
Fantastic.
And I think that's a great idea. Just knock at home and say, where do you like takeout?
Yeah.
I often send pizza
for
new moms.
And then I have one other question.
Yes.
I know this is, you know, I mean, a topic because it's a topic of
actually, wait just one second.
Okay.
Hold that thought.
All right.
I do want to encourage those of you that are in this room. I know several of you that sign up for meals. On the little take them a meal, it says, what are you going to bring?
Mm-hmm.
If it's at all possible, take the extra minute to think about something and write it in there for the sake of the others who do want to make sure they don't get chicken. Or when we had Jacob, we got 4 lasagnas. And my husband called it on like the third night. He's like, it's for dinner. I'm like, lasagna? And he's like, I'm going to McDonald's. Must be nice. Okay. But the point, there's a reason that's on there.
Yeah.
So if you can, just take an extra minute to fill it in. That's just my personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's been getting like more and more and more where it's like, I don't know. I'll figure it out. It'll be great. You know, it's like, but what if it's lasagna 4 times in a row? You know, so.
I actually haven't thought about that.
That's my personal charge to all of you.
Okay. I've never written it in. So that's
a good thing.
She's like,
I don't usually.
Well, sometimes I would think, because I've seen them do that too, and I would I just think, what can I make?
Oh,
what do I have in the freezer now? But usually, I'll see it'll be delicious or something delicious, and I just think when they go to make it, don't they look and see? Oh, she had chicken that night, and she's got, you know what I'm saying?
No one goes back and changes it though. Is that what you're saying?
No, when they say it'll be, you know, something yummy or whatever, I would think they'd be seeing, well, there's chicken there and there's chicken there. I'm not going to bring chicken.
Yeah, they might.
You know.
But
if the people
it used to be like one
chicken.
Person wrote that and now it's like 6 people are writing it.
Yeah,
so you really have no idea.
Yeah.
It's just something I've observed.
Was there another question? Did you
have?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Other
question.
When you have people over at your home, and I know this is, you know, but some people drink wine, some people don't. So is it appropriate to ask before they come, you know, do you drink wine? I mean, because we're a house divided. I enjoy a glass of wine, and my husband doesn't drink. So, you know.
What does he think?
And I would yield to whatever he thinks. And sometimes he says, you know, well, whatever the guests say. You know, and so we will have a bottle of wine to serve our guests. So, and sometimes we don't.
Does anyone want to answer that?
I don't want to offend anybody.
No, we've
kind of
been there, too, that way. And it's easier to err in the direction of don't.
Yes, and I think that's true as well. I think it's better just.
And there is a verse in the Bible about like not giving somebody wine because you're kind of responsible if they go out and
they get drunk.
I learned that as an employer. You know, anytime I would entertain my employees, you know, I never served alcohol because, you know, you don't know what's going to happen.
I think that came to that.
Yeah.
From the guest point of view. I would say we've been to someone's house, and when we told them no, I felt like it made everything awkward all of a sudden.
Yeah.
They were like, I offered it, and they don't drink. And they, you know, like, so.
And they know we do.
And I was like, huh, you know, because they had poured theirs, and then, you know, so.
But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm more of the, you know, just be up front and say, you know, would you care to have wine with your meal?
And worst case, they say.
And then they can say yes or no.
Yeah.
I mean,
people tell me no to coffee all the time. I mean, I don't understand it, but. Just kidding.
My thing is, you know, I don't want to be a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there's freedom. You know, I mean, I do think we have freedom.
But
you can. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
To me, if they need it with their meal, that's a bigger issue. So if they can't come over to your house and just have water or whatever else you're serving, you know.
Well, I was just going to say, like, if you're inviting someone over from the church, there's probably already an expectation, like,
you might surprise them with a question like that, number one. And then if they're immature or new to the church, it might confuse them because they might think, oh,
yes,
wow, people seem pretty free with alcohol here, and it might just be one or two people that are just drinking
right
in the privacy of their home. So I would say just as a wisdom kind of principle, until you know them well enough and you kind of have, you know, ascertain that they are someone who also drinks casually, it might be a good idea to just not have that on the table.
Like
so,
that thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been out in a group of, and I'm going to say so-called Christians because I'm not too sure because I wasn't real discerning. And we were at a restaurant, and you're sitting at the table, and some people are drinking and some people aren't. And then the bill comes, and they did a group bill.
Oh.
Now, I don't drink.
Oh,
so I'm like, well, aren't we going to? And they got totally upset that I didn't want to kick in money for their couple glasses of wine that five or six people at the table had had. They got really,
I
don't
have
it was
a problem with it.
It was real. And I was like, I don't know that I'm going to go out with this group of ladies again because, you know, that was not real Christian.
Pardon?
I don't mind. I mean, like, I have a group that's not up north that I went to high school with that is not Christian, and they would never do that. Like, if they had a glass of wine, they'll be like, oh, I'm throwing in extra for that. And that's when I go, no, because I had dessert and you didn't, so it's a wash, you know?
Hmm.
But they always offer in this group, like I said, that's why I say, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But also, how many drinks they had, that could push it over the edge,
mm-hmm,
too, as far as how they reacted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
sure.
It's a tough one, but
that's a good question, Beth. Thanks.
Yeah.
Barbara?
I agree with you. I
had another thing that I learned from experience, and changing the subject a little bit, but when you're in a crisis in your home, I had had a premature baby, and
mm-hmm,
baby's still in the hospital. We're having all kind of problems. I'm not feeling well. I wasn't feeling, you know, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You're so overwhelmed. You're so embarrassed to how your house looks. And I had a friend call me up. She said, could I come down and change your sheets or vacuum? And I'm like, because I couldn't do either one because I had emergency
mm-hmm
C-section,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I'm like, I didn't really want her to see my mess, but boy, would it be nice to have clean sheets. And so she came down and did that for me. So from that point on, when someone was in a crisis, like an operation, coming back from something, having a baby, I always call them and say, can I pick your kids up for Kids for Truth tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you like me to drop some cereal and milk off? You know, and they
right
might say, well, both would be nice. Or they might say, oh, I'd really like to have some milk. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're overwhelmed, people say, is there anything I can do for you? You're like, you can't even think
yeah
of yourself.
So your point is to offer exact
choice
things.
Yeah, to give them a choice.
And specific dates for hospitality works well, too, because sometimes we can just say, let's get together.
Yeah.
Or let's try, like, we'll look for next month. But then if you notice that's not, you're not having success, sometimes it's easier to say, would you like to come over next Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
That's very specific. Or
mm-hmm
even like if they seem like they're new or a little bit shy or guarded, well, would you just like to come over and like hang out outside while the kids scooter and we can just chat? Like a very like low key, just
mm-hmm
to see like how their comfort level, right?
Yeah.
Or
mm-hmm
my husband's out of town twice a week, 2 days or 3 days a week. So then I know that's a great time to have over like young ladies. Like, my husband doesn't feel like he's in the way. I don't know how they feel around, like, men. They're not married, so it might be like, this is kind of weird. You know, it just,
mm-hmm,
there's little pockets that the Lord gives you, and if you're prayerful about wisdom, and
mm-hmm
your life doesn't belong to you,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, I'm reading this biography right now of Martin Lloyd-Jones' wife, and they loved the countryside, and they loved Wales, and they never lived in the countryside. They lived in the city, but they would go for 2 months a year and live on a farm with their friends and minister to the people in Wales in the countryside. So the Lord fulfilled that desire that they had to be in the country, but they lived in the city because that's where the Lord put them. So our longing may be for the mountains or the country or the farm or the city or some other place than where we are, but if the Lord's put you in a certain spot, your aim is to be hospitable because nothing you have belongs to you,
mm-hmm,
then your home is open, even if it's only open on the days your husband says it's open. Your
right
home is open.
That's
yeah
it. Yeah, those are all
and
great points. How can we
like
serve one another in all different ways?
Tacking on to what Barbara said, when I first moved down here, Linda has family night like every other weekend just about, and I would say to her, like, what can I bring? And it got to be, she finally said to me, like, bring whatever you want, I can't make another decision. And so I learned instead to say, how about I bring this? Yes, you know, or...
Yeah.
You know, I would just make something.
Yeah,
and bring
you get
it
so overwhelmed. You can't
yeah
think.
She's
yeah
got enough to handle with
yeah
mm-hmm
that many people and
mm-hmm
making everything.
Yeah.
And she became the salad lady. And she makes killer salads, so now we always know.
I am not the salad lady, so I always have people bring salad.
Remember, tell her to bring salad.
Salad's always better when somebody else makes it. I don't know.
Same with boxed macaroni and cheese. It's weird.
Same with scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, if nothing else, you walk away from tonight thinking, how can I serve others? And, you know, it may be, how can we hospitalize our church building by cleaning it in a couple of weeks so that it's hospitable all the time? It's as simple as a cup of coffee, or as complex as having people stay with you for a week, you know, or a month.
Is this all right? I mean, because I'm like from, with Beth, making old, you know, old-fashioned meals or whatever. Is it all right to get pre-made stuff at Costco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if there's two things you walk away with tonight, it doesn't matter what you bring. Just bring it. Absolutely.
Like I said, here's the menu to Carrabba's. Just tell me which one.
That's all our kids want. They're pointing at all the box stuff in Costco. You will literally be their favorite guest. They want all of, please buy all of this, Mom. No, don't worry. I'm biting over Miss Bobby. She's bringing it.
I know she's bringing the brownie bites. All right, let's pray and you can continue to talk amongst yourselves. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time to talk about how to show your love to others. And God, you promise us that as believers that you are pouring your love out through us. And Lord God, may we not stop up the pipe, but may we allow it to flow freely. May we look at our things, our homes, our possessions, our people, and find ways to use every opportunity we have, Lord God, to warmly welcome others, to have cheerful attitudes without grumbling, to fight off perfectionism and trying to make things perfect when people come our way, when we don't expect it, when we go to others. May we simply open our doors, Lord God, and show the love of Christ as you have called us to, commanded us to, and deeply and richly reward when we do it. Lord God, I thank you for these sisters. I thank you for these times we've had to meet together and talk about these practical aspects of life, Lord God. And may we continue to encourage one another, and even have each other over. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.